Yeah, you know what time it is. It is the Freedom Fiends live on this, the first day, the first Saturday even in June. It is June 1st, 2013. I am Nima Vedati, and we've got Michael W. Dean rocking the mic over there in the great state of Wyoming. What's up, Mr. Dean?
I am in my windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in a rural section of the Rocky Mountains, and I invented that. Yeah.
You invented that.
And we're
you
also
didn't build that.
I built that. We're also going to have the Freedom Fiends, Bloviations and Meditations on the State of the State, the vast no-wing conspiracy that is the Freedom Fiends.
We don't need no wings. We fly with a jetpack, homie.
But without the government, who would build the roads?
Your mom would build the roads. I'd be all like, "Hey, Michael's mom, go build that road over there." And she'd be like, "Totally, dude."
My mother's dead, Nima, and you know it. And this is not like pre-planned humor. This is like, man, really?
It would be,
really, you're going to go there? That's no, man. We're full of love. We're full of love for each other and our brother, and we hate the state. We hate the state, man. Well, here's what we hate. We hate violence, and all government is predicated on violence because...
Well, let's pin that down a little bit more specifically. Not just violence, because
aggression.
We don't hate boxing. We don't hate MMA or football, you know,
we
because
like hunting.
That's agreed upon.
We like hunting, the most dangerous game, man. No, we're kidding. So, and we like self-defense, and self-defense can involve violence to stop aggression. But, you know, we're peace-loving. We're pro-gun, anti-war, which is weird because, you know, I've been anti-war my whole life. I think the first thing that I ever believed with strong conviction was war is bad. And I believed that when I was about five, when I was watching the Vietnam War on TV. And I was like, "Mommy, why are they killing each other?" And, you know, she tried to explain geopolitical situations to me and the Russians. And I'm like, "Russians?" And, you know, like, now are the Russians the threat? No. But they're just weirdos that make good rifles that we can get cheap. I got some Russian rifles. Russian rifles rock, man. But, you know,
they do rock.
I'm still anti-war. And because war is going in and killing innocent people because of something their leaders did.
Yeah.
And that's not good, man.
At least that's what it's become. That's what modern warfare has become. I mean, I guess theoretically, if you're going to even use the non-aggression principle and think of older wars, although I that's probably rose-colored glasses.
I
think all wars were horrible and sacking towns. But theoretically, in imagination land, if you had 20 guys on one army and 20 guys on another army, some on horses and some with swords and armor, and they decided to go to battle, and then they went to battle, and they were all not conscripts but volunteers... there would be nothing wrong with that.
Or paid mercenaries.
They could be mercenaries too, but as long as it was voluntary. That's the real nut of it. Is something voluntary or is it forced upon somebody else? And if it's voluntary, then what fault can you find with it, morally at least? I mean, maybe you could find it distasteful or think it's inappropriate culturally. But morally, if somebody agrees to something and the other party in the transaction agrees to it too, what can anybody else say about it?
Yeah, it's like boxing. You know, 20 guys on horses with swords going at it, and then Eric Holder sends in a drone. So someone recently on MSNBC, okay, we're going to do the, we're going to talk about how dumb the liberals are. And then of course, since, you know, the Freedom Fiends Fairness in Media Law of 2013, then we're going to have to talk about something conservatives did that was equally silly. But MSNBC's Michael Eric Dyson said, "Eric Holder is the Moses of our time because he's the lawgiver." Now, first of all, they're unclear on the Bible because Moses was not the lawgiver. He was the law deliverer. God was the lawgiver.
He was the delivery boy of the laws. Yeah, he wasn't the one who made it. Yeah.
And when I searched lawgiver on Google, the first thing that comes up is a fictional weapon used by Judge Dredd. It's called the which kind of fits Eric Holder more. It's called the Justice Department Lawgiver MK2. You know, because Eric Holder is the head of the Justice League of Imaginary Friends or whatever it's called.
Well, it's funny because wasn't that the whole concept of Judge Dredd and why it was like this really cool, interesting movie that was kind of this dystopian future where the enforcer was also the judge, jury, and executioner? And that's pretty much what Mr. Holder fancies himself as. He says the due process is my left side of my brain talking to my right side of the brain and then them both deciding that
he
you
didn't
should
say
die.
That. That's that, but that's basically what he says. That's what
that's
Scott
it.
Horton said he's saying. Now, we have a little Scott Horton. Scott Horton. on from Anti-War Radio, who's now solo but still very Anti-War Radio, and he's actually on the radio, but he's on some station that's like all communism all the time. But you know, hey, those people get it right once a year. Sometimes they're anti-war, and that's why he's on there, because he's anti-war. I hate communism, I really do, but I don't want to go send people to kill people because their leaders are communist. That's what the Vietnam War was, man. And it wasn't even the people. It was a war of proxy. It was fighting the Russians by killing Vietnamese, who were just farmers, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Just awful. And so, yeah, it really upsets me that somebody would actually say that Eric Holder is the Moses of our time. Here's what else he says. He started that paragraph off with, "I think the Attorney General should step down too, off that plateau where he resides in high principle, and whip some head." So he's basically trying to make a joke there, like, "Yeah, he should step down off of his dais and slap your face."
Yeah,
it's basically what he's saying. He's the one, and people like him. That thought process of putting some human on a pedestal and deifying them, that's the root of the problem of statism. Really, that's what statism is. It's thinking that somebody, some human, can be exalted to the level of lawgiver and lawmaker and lord it over the rest of us. And that's not freedom, man. That has nothing to do with freedom or liberty or anything of the sort. That is nothing but tyranny and statism to a T.
I think he's going to step down off that dais and run for office. You know, there's a joke going around about the 2016 ticket of Anthony Weiner and Eric Holder, Weiner-Holder ticket. And I don't know, would that be worse than Hillary? Who knows? It's you know who actually invented the term vast right-wing conspiracy? Was Hillary Clinton, in response to the Lewinsky scandal. Like, they're making fun of my husband because he cheated on me, and it's a vast right-wing conspiracy. And how come it's always, you know, not keeping it in their pants that is what people get in trouble for, like Weiner and like Clinton, when really, like, Clinton was killing innocent people all day, every day, you know, and bombed
And Petraeus. Petraeus lying about the surge. Like, you just have to say the incantation of the surge worked, and it makes it so, even though all the benchmarks that they said they wanted to do, all the goals they had, they failed to even come close to meeting, and yet they just say, "Oh, the surge worked," and people go, "Oh, Petraeus is the greatest general of our time," and then all of a sudden he has some email scandal about some possible infidelity, and he gets kicked out for that. You know,
I know the truth though. I know that in high school you wrote a term paper about how Bill Clinton was the greatest man of all time. I'm gonna dime you out.
Fair enough, man. You could keep bashing me on the head for that.
But
yeah,
you know, it's okay because I was
silly and I was infantile in my thinking.
Yeah.
And so I deified a statist. I deified the president of the United States as if he was a good person rather than the face on a vast organization that is nothing but a gang of thieves.
And the fact that we used to be statists is actually advantageous in our teaching hospital work we're doing now with the Freedom Fiends, right? Because we're recovering statists who finally saw the light, and we can help the statist who's not quite there yet, in the same way that a recovering alcoholic can help a current, you know, drinking active alcoholic better than some doctor or expert or someone with a PhD in addictionology who's never had that problem.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because man, we've been there, and if you are there now, we totally get it. We understand. And here's the thing is, by, you know, most of the polls, all the polls I've seen, everybody, you know, like 90-some% or 80-some% in most polls, think there's something really wrong with the state of America. With I don't mean the state like the way we use it,
but
the way America is right now. The condition of the United States.
What
everybody
condition
thinks there's some
horribly my condition
wrong
is
things.
In. Yeah. And, you know, a Gallup poll recently said that 54% of people surveyed in America said that the federal government has too much power. Now, under democracy, if it's 54% believe there's too much power, shouldn't we just automatically turn down the power dial?
Oh, if it were that easy, right?
See, what that would involve is people not thinking the government should solve problems that it's not needed to solve. Like, Boston Tea Party said something great one time, was that, well, he said a lot of things
just,
that were
just
really
one
good.
Time?
Yeah, one time. But no, something that I really liked that works for me now, so I'm going to quote it. He said, "The problem isn't liberals. The problem is conservatives who aren't willing to become libertarian." I mean, when you think about, like, Conservative means you don't want to spend money. You want to keep government as small as possible. But so many people these days who consider themselves conservatives want an endless empire war that's not defensive all over the world. They want to be the police of the world. They want to spend vast amounts of money. They want people getting their door kicked in for having weed or having meth or whatever. And it's like, you know, meth is a problem, but it's a medical problem. It's not a kick in the door problem. And the only violence in the drug war comes as a result of the fact that it's illegal. If it wasn't illegal, and, you know, who was it? Somebody said that, you know, coke, heroin, and speed should be legally available in bulk at Walmart, but probably in a different section from the sugar to avoid confusion.
But you know, that would be up to Walmart.
I mean, that's
reminds me of something high school football coaches used to tell me, like not when they were coaching football, but when you're in their history class or whatever it was they were teaching for some reason. You'd say something, go, hey, that sounds like a personal problem. You know, that's what meth is. It's a personal problem. It's none of my business. It's none of Michael W. Dean's business. It's none of Eric Holder's business. It's a personal problem. Go get some help if you feel you need it. And if you steal something, then you've aggressed. If you've stolen something to further your habit, then you've aggressed. And that is the problem, completely without regard to your drug problem. The fact is you stole something, and that is the crime.
Yeah. Yeah, so conservatives should be more. What all conservatives need to do. Now, the only time it's moral to say what everyone needs to do is when you're talking about not aggressing. What conservatives need to do is not aggress on people who aren't harming them and spending vast amounts of money to create, you know, this warrior system where there's every local cop has tanks and armored goons. Yeah. And you know what? If you're a gun lover, you should be against the war on drugs, because the same people that are knocking down doors for drugs right now are the people who are going to come take your guns in a few years. And
well, even this, practically it calls for the same thing, right? If you ban anything, if you take any item, no matter what it is in the world, if it's guns or drugs, and you say you're not allowed to have this, the only way you can enforce that is with 24-hour surveillance on everybody all the time, and the boots on the ground and tanks to go in and take that item if you do have it.
And you should also, if you're a conservative, not be backing the idea of an ongoing standing army all over the world, because pretty much when you have a standing army, you don't need the Second Amendment. And that's the rule they're going to use. They're going to say, you don't need to have guns. The police and military have guns. That's an old-fashioned rule from a time gone by. So, if you believe,
and it's sad that some people buy that argument. When my argument is, guns aren't a need-based thing. They're something you can buy. It's what you want, man. And we'll be back
after we go. After we go clean our guns.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
The electronic police.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker podcast. I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker podcast at badquaker.com. We have a forum, and it's got gardening tips. That's BADQUAKER.com.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. Scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Yo.
Meow. Meow. Meow.
Yes, this is the Daily Cat Roundup with the Freedom Fiends. It is Saturday, June 1st, 2013, and we are coming to you live. I am Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. How you doing, Mr.
I'm
Michael? Say the whole
good.
Thing, please.
Mr. Michael W. Dean, broadcasting from a windowless bunker. Please say the whole thing.
Please say the whole thing. Yes.
I've heard said that dealing with libertarians is like herding cats. Although really libertarians tend to agree about 99.99% on everything and scream at each other about the other 0.01%. But you know, really it just comes down to what is our basic principle, Nima? Tell our basic principle and please say the whole thing.
Yes. The non-aggression principle, which outflows from that property rights. And I'll explain it briefly here. Non-aggression principle, that says that in no circumstances is it morally okay to initiate aggression or aggress against somebody else's property. And obviously, somebody's property includes themselves, their body, and anything they've used their body or their mind to acquire legitimately. That means not stealing, but working for it. Homesteading it, those things then become extensions of your body because you got them with your body, so they are all your property. If somebody comes and tries to take it or harm it in any way, they are aggressing against you, and so you can legitimately defend yourself. Now, the reason that's the first thing, that's where it all flows from. Now, we're not anti-state or anti-government just because we decided to be and then made up some justifications for it. No, we're anti-aggression on property first, and the state just happens to exist in order to aggress against property. Taxes, regulations, eminent domain, search and seizure, indefinite detention, force feeding. These are all violations of the non-aggression principle.
And you know, there's a lot of media out there that we could recommend that describes the principles of why the state is wrong and why it aggresses against things. And you know, we could suggest, let's see, Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker podcast.
BadQuaker.com.
Who's our Canadian brother to the north we like? That guy.
Stefan Molyneux.
Stefan Molyneux. But what I really like is the movie Blazing Saddles, which deals a lot with eminent domain and people fighting back in a creative way to, that movie's just the best thing ever made. But let's move on to talking about some stupid liberals. I love that word. Some stupid liberals who are suggesting that the government should aggress against Rush Limbaugh for actually doing, for engaging in commerce. And we're on in many markets right after Rush Limbaugh's Week in Review, and we even introduce it with a liner of, hey, stick around after Rush's Week in Review for the Freedom Fiends, for something really weird that would probably make Rush Limbaugh go, who are these people? I don't know. I think he'd like about 10% of what, he'd like about 10% of us and hate about 90% and think it's weird. And we like about 10% of what he says and think a lot of it's, leaning toward, aggression. But people who say they're conservatives often do that.
Thing.
But here's the thing.
And this is a really important thing. When what you just said was, libertarians fight about 1% of the thing and they do it heatedly, even though they agree on like 99% of the thing. And the reason is because libertarians tend to, or at least if you're doing it right, you put principle over collectivism. You put principle over, personal relationships or other people that, you might be like, hey, I like that guy. So that's what we're doing here. We're not saying we love Rush Limbaugh, but this liberal person.
We're defending his right to exist.
Exactly. We're defending his right to do business in the way that he deems appropriate, whereas Bill Mann here in the Huffington Post is attacking Limbaugh, calling his secret of success a dirty little secret of Limbaugh's radio success.
Is Bill Mann
and so
violating,
calling out Bill Mann on
is
that.
He violating the Mann Act in this?
I don't know. I don't know if you want to go that far, and that's kind of a joke.
Nope.
But, nope. Okay.
Nope.
So basically, Bill Mann here in HuffPo, he says, ever wonder why Rush Limbaugh's syndicated radio show is all over the place like the proverbial cheap suit? If you do much driving in rural areas, Limbaugh's bloviations are often the only thing you can pick up on a car radio. Hey, that's what CD players are for.
CD Pause. Players? That's
yeah, how old are you, guy?
That's what 8-track players are for. Yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Man.
You get with the times. Okay, but that was a little sidetrack shot we threw at him there. But here's what he says. Did Rush accrue hundreds of local radio affiliates across the country because his political views are mainstream? That's obviously not it. Okay, so why is his show so, quote, popular? Why do hundreds of stations around the country carry a show, the most widely syndicated talk fest in the country? And he goes on to say, it's because, ready for this? Rush's show was, and presumably still is, given away for free to many local radio stations.
That's that's how radio works. And we'll talk more about how radio works when we get back from the market, which is part of how radio works and pays for itself, and everybody gets paid. It's beautiful.
Exactly.
It's true capitalism, and it's the market, baby. Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nina.
Boy, that segment's so short.
I know.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. Yeah. It's the Freedom Fiends live Saturday, June 1st, 2013. I am Nima Vidotti. We've also got Michael W. Dean. And we're going to continue what we started in our last segment and keep hating a little bit here on Bill Mann of the Huffington Post, their TV radio critic. His article
He's square,
from years
man.
Back,
He's so square.
He is square. But his article's still relevant to talk about and sort of dismiss this little concept that he is complaining about, or at least dismiss his complaint.
Well, he doesn't understand how radio works. He is complaining that Rush Limbaugh is only popular because he's giving it away. And he makes an analogy to like drug dealers who give away free samples, but drug dealers give away free samples allegedly, according to cop shows. And then back when I was a heroin addict before 1994, they never gave me free samples. They always had to pay. But man, he's just got it wrong. He doesn't know how radio works. He's basically saying, it's unfair competition practices, and the government must step in because he's giving away – everybody gives away their shows, man. That's how it works. It's called barter time. Basically, you divide each hour of radio up into a pie chart. I actually am looking at our show clock or pie chart on the wall, and it divides it up into chunks of talk and chunks of ads. And the network – you know, the people that syndicate you, GCN, in our case, wonderful Genesis Communications Network, they get some of the ad minutes. The show, in this case, the Freedom Fiends, the wonderful Freedom Fiends, get some of the ad minutes. And each local network, all our wonderful networks, put
the
in the affiliates, put in, I said network, I meant affiliates, yeah. The affiliates put in, see, I'm on radio and it's hard to explain this. No wonder this guy, this dumb liberal, doesn't understand. So, yeah, so each radio station gets some of the ad time. So everybody wins. There's no money exchanged between these three entities, the show, the network, and the affiliate. And then they all sell their ad time to different people. So that's how it works. It's beautiful. It's brilliant. Now, one of the reasons that talk radio in general is bigger than music these days, and it not only hasn't gone away because of the internet and TV and music and rock and roll, it's actually bigger than ever. Part of it is because AM radio stations are easier to run from a technical standpoint, and AM has slightly lower fidelity than FM, and AM reaches further on the same wattage. And talk radio doesn't need as high fidelity as music. So it makes more sense to run AM stations. That's reason one. Reason two, you have to pay to program music. There's these organizations in America called BMI and ASCAP. There's some equivalent in Canada. There's some equivalent in Europe. I've been jacked up in Europe for playing my own music by them in clubs. But basically, when you play a song on the radio, you have to report it and pay, you know, some fraction of a cent for each song you pay, and it adds up to hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. Why do that when you can get talk radio programming for free? This guy doesn't understand it, and he thinks Rush is doing something wrong. Now, another thing occurred to me, maybe liberals do charge for it, and that's why, you know, like Air America Radio failed. Although I read something in this book about radio production where someone was at Air America on their launch date, and Al Franken, their flagship gabber, who's now a senator, you know, he wasn't aggressing enough on radio, so now he's doing it in the Senate. But he actually got locked out by accident his first day, like when he was supposed to start his show. I mean, if that's not an indication, you know, he went out to have a smoke or talk to somebody out in the parking lot and got locked out trying to get back in to do his show. So if that's not an indication of where they're headed, but maybe
here's the other thing, man. Like a lot of liberals these days, and conservatives too, but like a lot of mainstream people, there's a lot of economic ignorance in this Bill Mann article because he acts like it's giving away for free. But hey, you know what? Time is money, and there's a thing called opportunity cost, and it still does cost the station something to let the show have some of that ad time so that there is a trade going on. There's trade of time, and that time is used to put ads in, which gets you money. So there is still a back and forth going on.
Yeah, and I bet that if Rush were selling his time or his show instead of giving it away, this guy'd write an article saying, and it became the industry standard because Rush leads the industry. I'll bet this Bill Mann guy would be complaining, it's not fair because liberal stations can't afford to buy liberal shows. You know, they complain no matter what, these liberals, these damn liberals. And I mean that, really.
Right.
Damn them.
And here's the other thing. He defeats his own argument in his second paragraph when he says, hey, that's what CD players are for. The thing is, if you don't want to listen to Limbaugh, if you don't like Limbaugh's bloviating, as Bill Mann calls it, then don't listen to it, man.
Yeah.
That's the point, is be your own person, make your own decisions, quit crying like a baby and hoping government will make your decisions for you, because that's just weak sauce. Quit being weak.
Yeah, it's not a vast right-wing conspiracy. I mean, a lot of liberals think it is and think the government should reenact the Fairness in Media Act law of whatever that was rescinded by Clinton, actually, and then Rush Limbaugh started going after Clinton. It was kind of ironic. But a lot of liberals want to put that back into play because basically the market is not being fair to liberals, because basically liberals are not good at talk radio. Right-wingers are, and liberals aren't. Liberals just, you know, right-wingers can yell with authority and maybe use a little bit of logic, and left-wingers go, meh, 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 it's not fair. The government should point guns at him. Whenever there's something they don't like. And people don't like to listen to it. And also, left-wingers tend to be younger, and younger people, they use their CD players to listen to what they want to listen to.
Their CD players.
Players. You know?
I see them all the time walking around with these Discmans and Walkmans. And
yes,
whatnot.
Yes. Why don't they have Al Franken on their Discman if they want to listen to it? They probably do. So are their iPods. Boy. So they're chromed robot turd, whatever. But you know, and people think that radio is an old media, but the fiends are going to bring it younger, and we're going to save talk radio. And in about 5 years, when we have about 7,000 affiliates, and Rush has 3 or 4 left, and he's begging to come on and be interviewed on our show. No, but we're the future of talk radio, and everybody says they're the future of something, but we are, and we're the Freedom Fiends, and the brave program directors who programmed us first, I salute them, I thank you for your service, and because you know where the market's going, and that's the smart thing. Like, when I was in bands, and I was signed to Warner Brothers, and we were kind of doing something cutting edge, we didn't do very well, because we were our own worst enemies, as they say. But, you know, whenever a band that's really weird comes out of nowhere and hits, that's different from everyone else, like Guns N' Roses, Jane's Addiction,
Nirvana
in recent times, and, you know, I could go back to the hippie days and name stuff. But whenever a band does that, a bunch of people suddenly change their style and try to sound like that. That's not what you do, because it takes about 5 years to make it, if you ever do, once you're a band and playing and can play and all that, but it takes 5 or more years. Like, Nirvana was not an overnight success. I saw them play to 100 people once, you know, 6 years before they got signed. They were out there touring every night. But if you change your tune...
If you're copying the sound of the hits, then you're already too late.
You are. You really are. Yeah. And the Fiends basically just sound like two smart buddies in a room talking to each other, and the listener gets to be a fly on the wall. It's not quite like radio. And that comes from the fact that 2 years ago when we did our first podcast, it was you and me talking in the living room with my wife with just a little recorder on recording it. And that's how the Fiends started. So, yeah.
Yes. It was great. And you were still a statist.
I was, man.
You got to bring up the, hey, Nima, you wrote a paper in high school about how much you love Bill Clinton. Well, Michael, a couple years ago when we did our first cast, you were like, hey,
who will build the roads?
Who would build the roads?
Yeah, I was a minarchist constitutionalist. And yeah, I mean, it made sense at the time. But the Constitution is and I don't want to irk anybody here. I like our listeners. But, you know, the Constitution, we have some problems with it. One is we didn't sign it, so we're born into it. That makes it slavery. Another is just from an opportunity and, like, usability standpoint, it's been ignored since the ink wasn't dry. I mean, you know, the whiskey rebellion.
Like Sandra Spooner says, if the Constitution didn't set up the tyranny we have today, then it at very least failed to stop the tyranny we have today.
And he said that 100 years ago when he was being tyrannized for doing something anyone should be able to do, which is making a competing post office.
Right.
Yeah. And now the post office is completely failing. You still can't start a competing one that could do better, you know? That's square. Yeah.
That's the thing is somebody started it somewhere else to where it competes with the function, but not in the specific terms, right? Not in the specific same reality. It's email. It's digital communications. People don't need.
They
to
tried
send
to tax
paper
that. You know they. You know they tried to tax that in like 93. That there was a bill being presented in Congress to tax that because it was going to compete with the post office. It was going to be like 3 cents per email or something. And I think they'd love to bring that back. I think the Democrats would love to bring that back. And the small government Republicans, some of them like my guy here in Wyoming, who wants to tax the internet to save horse and buggy whip stores, you know, brick and mortar stores.
Right,
yeah,
right.
That's so square.
Well, that's another good point. You know, we talk about the two means of doing business or acquiring resources. There's the market means, which means you trade and buy and sell for your resources. Or there's the political means, which means you use politics and violence to get what you want or aggression to get what you want. And the sad thing is people in industries that are dying, rather than jumping out of that and re-educating themselves or moving to a different industry or starting a different business that's more modern and set to compete in the new paradigm. Instead, they go to Congress and lobby for, you know, bailouts like GM or different regulations that'll keep the new competitors, the new kids on the block, from competing with them directly. And they use the state to bash people over the head. And the state does it with its own industries, just like the post office. And what that does is it keeps the economic resources from going to the people who deserve it. It is literally, but systemically, it's not that one political party picks winners and losers. It's that when you have a state system such as we have, that's what it does. It gets to choose the winners and losers.
It interferes with interstate commerce, which is kind of funny because the, you know, allegedly the reason the FBI and the Commerce Department exist is to prevent people from interfering with interstate commerce. But all those government agencies, by their very existence, interfere with interstate commerce, man.
Right, exactly. Because if there is a third party that gets a say in a transaction that doesn't have a real stake in it, like they're not putting up money, you know, and they're not putting up the resource that's being bought, then they're an interloper. They're literally interfering
with whatever
commerce is going on.
Rent seekers and tax eaters. And when we say third party, we don't mean like, you know, the Green Party or the Libertarian Party. We mean a third entity in a two-person.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of like that thing in grade school or high school when you're having a conversation and someone comes in and tries to butt in. You go, excuse me, this is a two-way conversation. Maybe you can see your way out of it. You know.
You got that wrong.
How does it go?
That's hilarious.
How's it go?
It's an A and B conversation, so see your way out
of it. Yeah, and really, I mean, that's what we should be able to say to government entities, but more and more, they want to be probing us in all our holes in everything we do to try to keep us from having the free market. And politicians from the left and right love to use the term free market, and it's not really the free market, man, if there's a third person in a two-person interchange.
Right. How does that make it free? It doesn't. It doesn't exist. If you ban things, if you have regulations, those two things, even if the state has the monopoly on the money creation, there's no such thing as free market, because money is at least one half of every transaction.
Would you like to advertise your product or service to a large built-in audience of liberty-loving consumers who truly dig the free market? Freedom Fiends is now selling ad space. Slots are reasonably priced, but limited, so contact us today. Write the Fiends at talkback@freedomfiends.com. That's talkback@freedomfiends.com.
All right, we are back. It's the last segment of this hour. We'll have more to come, but right now it's the Freedom Fiends live on Saturday, the 1st of June. How are you doing, Mr. Michael Dean?
I am well. I'm very well. I'm so well, I want to share it with the world. And you know, because of the Freedom Fiends Fairness in Media Act of 2013, since we spent a segment or two yelling at stupid liberals, we have to say something about a conservative that we find stupid. And it's Glenn Beck, who's kind of a staple of talk radio. And he's had his good run, but in about 5 years, he's going to be our board op, I think, the way things are going when the Freedom Fiends take over radio. And here's a problem. He says some stuff that makes sense. And he was probably some, I hate to admit it, but a part of my journey to liberty. I had my 3 weeks of watching Fox News. But it was the 3 weeks when he was basically copying Alex Jones's stories. And then he really was. And I noticed it. Yeah. And Alex Jones noticed it, too. Like, you know, Alex Jones would talk about something. And about 3 weeks later, Glenn Beck would go on a rant about it. And then he started talking about the real problem, which is the Federal Reserve. And then he got kicked off TV. So there is some truth to those conspiracy theories that there are unseen hands that want to control the people from educating the sheeple. So, you know, the five minutes when Glenn Beck really started talking truth, he got kicked off the air, so off TV. So here's my thought. How can Glenn Beck love states' rights so much and also love Abe Lincoln to the point that he literally, I have seen Glenn Beck weep with tears down running down his face and into his shirt for his love for Abe Lincoln. Now, we are not pro-slavery. We hate slavery, and that's kind of the whole point of the Fiends, is we think there is still soft slavery. They're taking a bunch of our money. They're telling us what to do. That's slavery. We hate slavery. Lincoln did not free the slaves, and slavery was on its way out, and the market would have ended it anyway. However,
well, Lincoln also promised not to do anything with slavery when he was negotiating with the South about the tariffs. What he really wanted to enforce was tariffs and taxes on the South to keep that revenue stream going strong. That's why he started the Civil War, or the War of Northern Aggression, as some people more accurately like to call it.
Yeah. Yep. Lincoln was not a good man. He was a liar. He was a whole bunch
of
stuff.
He's a politician.
He was a politician. And there was actually, it's kind of funny. When I was a kid, I did something wrong when I was like five. I don't know, like stole an extra cookie or something and lied about it. And which is someone in my family, I'm not going to say who because we've had him on the show before, but someone in my family didn't spank me about it, but had a serious talking to me about it and was like, you shouldn't do that. And I was scared to heck. And they told a story about Abe Lincoln and how honest he was, that when he was a teenager and was working in a store, somebody overpaid by 2 cents and he walked 26 miles in the snow, barefoot, uphill both ways to return that money to them. And that's the kind of man I should aspire to be, not a cookie stealing little brat. And I got really scared and felt I'd done something really wrong. It was worse than a spanking to me. It was like psychological guilt, and parents love to use that. And it didn't really make me honest. It made me like overly scrupulously honest to the point where for a few weeks, like if someone came into my house and wiped their boots and there was some mud on our boot mat, I'd be like, do you want this mud back? It's yours. I don't want to steal it. And you're actually involved in a personal adventure of self-improvement now that we can't really talk about by name on press, radio, and films, but it involves scrupulous honesty. But there's a point where it's kind of too far, and it the making amends to others harms others, including yourself. Like trying to give someone the mud that they leave on, and that's just crazy. But I was a little kid. And little kids do that when parents or authority figures tell them something that's really dire and try to scare them with Abe Lincoln will haunt your dreams, which is basically what happened. So, but Abe Lincoln hated state rights to the point where he killed more Americans than Hitler over not liking states' rights. Right. And now, how come he's the founder of the Republican Party? How come Republicans are so into states' rights when their founder killed more Americans than Hitler to prevent states' rights?
Right.
And how that does Glenn such... and Glenn Beck loves the guy? What a disconnect, man. We'll be back.
Yeah. So important to point out that inconsistency too. Not only that, not only the states' rights thing, but the imperial presidency thing. Lincoln treated the thing like he was a god. He threw whole Congress members, whole delegations in jail. And this is the same kind of horrible stuff Obama does that people complain about. We got a long one here, Michael. But okay, I'll go ahead and toss the market.
Freedom Fiends on the Fiends chat. Worms. We'll be back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends. Worms.
You can subscribe to Freedom Fiends via the RSS link on the top right of any page. It's orange. Or you can subscribe via email at the subscribe by email link at the top of the right sidebar on any page. It's a little bit below the search field. You'll need to respond to a one-time confirmation email, but after that, you will only receive an email each time a new episode posts. The Freedom Fiends respect your privacy. We will not spam you and will not sell, rent, or share your email address. And you are free to unsubscribe at any time.
All right, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends live radio show. This is hour two. I am Nima Vedati. We've got Michael W. Dean. This is the Freedom Fiends.
Yes. Yeah. Yay. Freedom Fiends here on radio.
Radio.
And we were chatting with somebody in the chat room, the Freedom Fiends chat room, which you can go to freedomfiends.com. Go on the little pink coffee cup. Yes, it's pink. We know. We just like that. We found it somewhere. We appropriated it. We took someone else's coffee cup. Didn't see no copyright symbol saying the government will point guns at our head. We didn't even know who to credit. We just found it. Someone, we found it in it fell off a truck, that image of the coffee cup.
The cops left it in a box marked pink coffee cup logo.
Which is a joke based on something that really happened. The very competent, if you search Wyoming drug cops on Google, the first thing that comes up is the story of how some drug cops in Wyoming who were training a drug sniffing dog accidentally left a box of meth that was marked meth on the side of the road and I guess on the hood of their car and drove off or something, and went back and looked for it, and either the wind or a person took it away, and they put out a bulletin that said they would like it to be returned if found. So
please return my meth.
I mean, aren't they distributing drugs? And it was felony amount too. It was like an ounce. So I guess the Wyoming.
They should have put signs up like when you lose your puppy. Lost. Box of meth.
An ounce of meth. Yeah. So that's your tax dollars at work, is the people who are the war on drug warriors distributing free meth in felony quantities where any child could find it. Right. At least if it were in Walmart, you'd probably have to show ID to get it. So there.
Well,
anyway.
Here's the thing. People make mistakes, man. Cops are just people. Everybody makes mistakes. Okay, that's fine. The catch is don't give one group of people a monopoly on a certain economic function. And then when people make mistakes, you have others who compete to step in and clean up the mess or provide the service without those mistakes, or at least attempt to.
Yeah, anybody should be able to lose an ounce of meth in Wyoming, not just the police. That's not quite what you were saying, but that's where I took it. Okay, so we're talking to somebody in the chat room who was talking about my DVD, Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle. Now, people who are new to the Fiends may not know that we are we do other stuff. We're not just radio hosts. We also make movies, and we make music. And I actually write books for a living, which I don't even talk about much anymore because I don't like writing. It takes a lot of work to say what you can say really quickly with your mouth, and nobody reads anymore. Who reads? I mean, I read gear manuals, and that's about it. Radio audio gear manuals. But so somebody was saying, "Hey, I really liked your Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle DVD. Downloaded it on BitTorrent, which if you go to the Freedom Fiend site and click on the link that says Torrent Club, it'll show you how to use torrents to get all our media free and share it forever. So if and when we get droned and, you know, our houses are gone and they take our website because they want to interfere with interstate commerce and free speech, it'll still be there and everyone will be able to share it. So go to the freedomfiends.com website and click on the Torrent Club link and you can get all our videos. You can also go on Amazon and buy them. But so this guy downloaded it and liked it and said it was great, except I shouldn't have used this harsh punk rock song that I wrote because it would turn people off. And it's a song called Get Off My Property.
Get Off My Property.
Yeah, I think we just used it, instrumental version of it, in one of the lead-ins on this show. So the guy was saying he didn't like it, and I kind of got in a little argument with him, basically saying, if you don't like it, go make your own movie. And I used to see this punk rock band called the Big Boys, who were from Austin. I used to see them back at where Nima's from. I used to see them in San Francisco back in the 80s. They were great. And at the end of the set, wherever they were playing on tour, the singer would like scream into the mic, like while the last chord was still ringing out and the cymbals were still rattling from the end of the last song, he'd go, "Now go start your own band." And I thought that was great, because punk rock came out as a reaction to the like gallery of princes and princes that was 70s rock and roll. You know, we're like, you had to be, as Ian MacKaye says, anointed by God to play. You know, you couldn't just start a band and put out your own record and people would hear it. And punk rock created that, basically. And he would say, you know, the guy from the Big Boys would say, "Now go start your own band," at the end of the set. And I love that. And when I wrote my first book, which was actually a how-to book on video production, the last page of it in giant letters filling the whole page says, "Now go make your own movie," because it was about making movies. And so this guy should probably go read my book, $30 Film School, and learn to make his own movies if he doesn't like it. Now, even better than that, we put out all our media with a Creative Commons license, which basically means he or anyone else can remix it and release it anywhere. For free, you know, they can.
Which people have actually done.
Yeah,
they took my "A Gun for Everyone" video and made a radio edit version for those who didn't like the cussing, which is fine.
Yeah,
go ahead and do that.
So if you think the Gun Training video, instead of having some abrasive punk rock in the intro of it, would be better served by having the soundtrack to Barney, or by having some some Frank Sinatra or sugar do, then go ahead and do it, man. Release it. Just send us a link so we can blog about it and blab about it and blogivate about it.
Blogiate
about it. Yeah.
Well, although at the same time, I think it's okay to critique media, even media you like.
No.
I think that's perfectly okay.
And when I'm libertarian emperor of the world, when people, I'm going to be the Stalin of libertarianism, which is really, that's a joke, man, because it's completely the opposite. Actually, the word libertarian is the antonym to the word authoritarian. So you couldn't be the libertarian Stalin. But let's talk about somebody who wanted to be the anarchist president and what's wrong with that and how we find that funny and what he said recently.
Yeah. So Adam Kokesh, he's been a hot topic. We just can't stop talking about him, can we? But yeah, so
he likes it.
I guess it's kind of a longish story, but he was going to do this armed march on Washington, D.C., where people open carried loaded rifles, long guns, and I guess handguns if they wanted.
I would never take my rifle to D.C. I wouldn't even go to D.C., man. I want to sit right here with my rifle and pet it in Wyoming in my windowless bunker.
Right. But the concept of the plan was to get at least 1,000 people to sign up and then to walk from Virginia, the big national cemetery over there, over a bridge into Washington, D.C., where guns are banned and you can't have guns. Naughty, naughty. To basically point out that, hey, we don't live in a free country anymore because you're going to come down and crack down on us.
Duh.
For having, B, you know, taking the state head on like that doesn't really seem like a good move strategically. So then what happened is Adam Kokesh went to a pro-pot rally. I think it was in Philadelphia. Apparently, yes. This is a regular thing, a monthly thing that always happens, and there's barely ever any trouble. Kokesh goes up there. He's giving a speech. Apparently didn't bring any pot on him, wasn't partaking, was just talking into a microphone, and got arrested by the Park Service, federal cops, federal
law enforcement. For free speech, basically, but they said it was for resisting arrest, but without another charge. So,
well, actually, there was another charge that did come out. It was the other charge was assaulting police officers.
Yes, that's like when the bully walks up to you in grade in high school, punches you in the face, and then tells everyone his face ran into my fist. Yeah. He assaulted me.
Right. But the thing is, there was video. A bunch of people took video of this, and you can clearly see he's just talking, and some people come up behind him. He's not facing them, and they grab him. So how is that him initiating the attack? It's not. And so he sat in prison for – or federal prison, or I guess a jail, not a prison. Sat there for a few days, almost a week, and they finally just let him go. He said on a Scott Horton interview that it was because they just didn't like him, and he was happy the whole time, and talking about how he was freer than the wage slave prison guards, and the wage slave prison guards were dour and sad all the time. He's like, hey, I'm happy. I'm free in my mind.
That's probably
kind of
true.
A cool thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
true.
Sometimes the state reminds me of that other kind of bully that like knocks the milk out of your hand and then throws his own milk on the floor and then says you knocked the milk out of his hand.
Mm, mm-hmm. So they let him out and then he goes and I guess he writes this new American Declaration of Independence. And Scott Horton had him on early in the week, this week. And he just reads the whole thing verbatim. And it sounds kind of fantastic, you know, fantastic in the way of it's a fantasy. Basically says, okay, now we're not doing the armed march in D.C. anymore. Instead, we're all going to go to the state capitals. I encourage everybody everywhere to go to their state capitals, tell the state governments to dissolve the federal government immediately, and that is our demand.
Well, he's open sourcing it and making it non-centralized, which is the way things are done these days. But yeah,
right,
even
but it's
so.
Also expecting the state to end itself.
Someone already tried that. Wasn't there someone who sent a letter to every governor saying, like, step down from your illegal governorship or we're going to aggress on you? And I don't know. I know the FBI knocked on the guy's door. I don't know what happened after that. Maybe he was disappeared. I haven't heard from him since, but he's someone I'd never heard of before either. So.
Well, okay. So here's the thing. If the government had any sense of limiting its own power, if the state had any sense or desire to limit its own power, it would have already been done. They would have shown that they can do that. Like Stefan Molyneux says, if you can't lift 5 pounds, you can't lift 500 pounds.
Yeah.
So it's just obvious that this is going to go nowhere. It's going to be nothing but a normal protest, which is fine. Go protest. That's fine. But this isn't the way. This isn't after this happens, all of a sudden we're going to have a free country, which is kind of what he made it out to seem. Like, this is the line in the sand. This is the last straw. We're all going to go demand that the state dissolve itself, and then the state will dissolve itself, and I'll be the hero. And Scott was like, after he reads this thing, Scott Horton was like, okay, so you're going to commit an armed revolution against the American government, and then we won't have a government anymore. Is that right, Mr. Kokesh? Just deadpan, like, okay, good job, buddy. Yeah, that's good.
I love Scott Horton. He's great, man. Everyone should go listen to the Scott Horton show. It is some of the most solid. He's kind of got a similar dynamic to Nima and I, but he's one guy, which isn't to say he's talking to himself, but he's loose and fast and easy and cool, but he has a vast understanding of history and geopolitical, basically mostly
foreign
about
policies,
war, foreign policy. Yeah, he's amazing with that.
Yeah, but I guess my thing, And this is kind of what we said before. It just seems like Kokesh is doubling down on it. It's not that the way you end the state is you don't beg the state to end itself. You don't try to show that you have superior force and that you can force the state to end itself. Those two tactics are non-starters. The state has killed more people, and by the state, I mean all governments everywhere, killed something like 260 million people in the last century. They have no qualms about maintaining their own power through violent force. That's kind of the definition of the state. So trying to show that you have more overwhelming force is not going to work. And asking them, please, sir, will you stop tyrannizing us, is not going to work either. So, Kokesh, I get the 50 state capital thing. That's kind of cool. But it's not as big as you think it's going to be, buddy.
And after,
keep doing your thing by all means, but you're not our savior.
And we'll come back and tell you how the aliens are going to be our savior after this, which is about as possible.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Check out the Anarchy Gumbo podcast. Michael W. Dean of the Freedom Fiends cooks up a very special blend of liberty, guns, sex, rock and roll, drugs, and thriving in spite of the state in an increasingly worrying world. All with a rotating cast of nifty guests who are also up in the middle of the night. The Anarchy Gumbo Podcast, a tasty stew of freedom and fun. Subscribe at kittyfeet.com. That's KittyFeet.com.
Right. Yeah. Thank you for returning. This is Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. And together, we are the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
It's on our live shows Saturday, June 1st.
Yeah, and that music that was just playing is a song by me, my one-man band called Right Arm of Wyoming, which is not a right-wing reference. It's actually a reference to a rifle I used to have, the FAL. It was not an FN FAL, it was a DSA FAL, but they call it the right arm of the free world because it is the military go-to weapon for every non-communist army in the world except America. America likes those little poodle shooters, and in other countries, they like real man guns, 308 battle rifles. Battle rifles stop you indeed, as you once rapped. I had to censor that a little bit. But Right Arm of Wyoming. If you search that on Google, you will be able to download the entire punk rock and hip hop and toe tapping CD for free of Right Arm of Wyoming. And that was a song called We Are the Good Guys, which is basically saying, why are all these statocrats saying we're the bad guys? Because we're the good guys, man. It's a little better, a little more complicated than that. But that's and I played.
Well, what do bad guys always do throughout history and in media? Bad guys always say that the good guys are the true bad guys.
Yeah, because history is written by the victors, even while it's happening these days.
That's something really important to understand because, well, maybe I spoke too soon about the media thing, because in a lot of media and in a lot of art, the bad guys are cartoonish and they're caricatures and they're obviously bad and they make no qualms about it, and you know immediately because when they walk in the room, there's very ominous off-key music very low, played with cellos that you know they're horribly
bad. I call that kind of music here comes the monster music. It's very common. It's very common in filmmaking. Yes. And I try to avoid it. I'm like, I in our movies, we use music that's like, here come the heroes, because we're all heroes in our own media, as we should be, because we're telling the truth, we're writing the real history as it's happening.
But the thing is, real bad guys never really let on that they're bad guys. You have to be smart enough to recognize that they are bad guys. Hitler kissed babies, Mao kissed babies, Stalin kissed babies. They all talked
George
about
Bush,
how there was
Obama.
A constitution or founding documents that they would stick to. They all talked about how free their populace was.
Hitler
and
was
how
democratic.
Great their society
Hitler was. Hitler was democratically elected. Which, when anybody says to me, democracy is the greatest form of government, I just say, why have leaders? But the real proof in the pudding there is Hitler was literally democratically elected, breaking no laws doing so. It's like, that's what happens, man. That's what democracy can lead to. When 51% get to choose what happens to 49%, you end up with tyranny.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's A, somebody else choosing. Okay, I've been rereading The Probability Broach by L. Neil Smith. Not the whole book, but the graphic novel, which is drawn by Scott Beezer, who's a good friend of ours, and we also love his new stuff, Quantum Vibe, which is still being updated on a daily basis, at least 5 days a week. But in there, okay, so it's basically an alternate timeline, as if the Constitution never happened. There's still the Articles of Confederation. The Whiskey Rebellion was actually won by the rebels, and Washington was put up against a wall in a firing squad. And so it's what would have happened kind of thing. It's the counterfactual. And in there, Congress still meets sometimes. There's still a Congress. I think they only meet like 7 times since the actual American, quote, revolution in that counterfactual. The main difference, there's a couple main differences. The first one is Congress doesn't have the power to tax, to regulate, to infringe, to aggress on people. Basically, the Congress has to follow the same rules of morality as everybody else, i.e., they have to follow the non-aggression principle. So they can go and vote on like what they feel about or if they'd like to take donations for Project A or B, but they can't force people into doing things.
They vote on whereas what liberals love to do and conservatives is vote on their feelings, whether or not they aggress on anyone, and then write laws that make there need to be a whole bunch more cops on every corner to aggress on everyone. And that's the real thing, too. If you're a conservative and you're a gun lover, we love guns. We love guns. We're ethical with them. We'd never hurt anybody with them unless they tried to hurt us. And then we'd use them to stop people. And we enjoy them for sport. But if you're a gun lover, you should not be in favor of nanny laws like outlawing drugs or, you know, calling the neighbors when they're having a loud barbecue or whatever, because that's something you could deal with one-on-one, the second thing. And the first thing, it's none of your damn business what someone does in their home. And if you're in favor of any drug laws, you are in favor of an armed surveillance state that will take away your guns.
And conversely, if you're a liberal and you're in favor of some gun regulations or common sense gun regulations, you're in favor of the same thing. It's still a prohibition. I had a conversation.
Yeah, they'll use those same kind of powers to take away things you like, especially when the Republicans get those same powers in their hand.
Exactly. It's the power that's the problem. It's the power that corrupts. Learn from Lord Acton, and we will be back from the market in just a bit.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the central scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
Freedom Fiends.
That's us. It is Freedom Fiends live on Saturday, the first day, in fact, in June. So we're starting the summer off right. I guess it's not technically summer, but hey, it's June, and we're here. And I'm Nima Vidati, and we've got Michael W. Dean. What's up, man?
Yeah, well, my neighbor's mowing the back 40, so I had to really close the curtains, and I'm really in a windowless bunker right now.
Curtains make a window, not a window, apparently.
They do. They in the same sense that a gun without bullets is a rock.
There you go. Or,
so we want to talk about repealing the Second Amendment, which anybody listening is probably going, God, they want to repeal the Second Amendment. But actually, we're quoting an article by Bill Bupert, who I know Bill Bupert. I worked with Bill Buford, and you, sir, are no, I don't know him. I've interviewed him a couple times, and he is, I will say this to any gun nuts, we're gun nuts, but any gun nuts out there listening going, they're talking about repealing the Second Amendment. Bill Buford is more of a gun guy than you are. I don't know you, listener, but I'll tell you, Bill Buford is more of a gun guy than you are. And he wants to repeal the Second Amendment. Why, Nima?
Well, looking at his article, it seems like what he's saying is giving the government the language in their founding document or in the document that's supposed to be the law of the land, it's letting them have the camel's nose under the tent or their foot in the door or whatever it is. If the language is in there about guns, then they're going to think it's their duty or their right at the very least to make regulations and laws and rules about guns. They're going to think it's their sphere in order to insert themselves into that sphere. And that's where all the problems stem from. The problems stem from the fact that the state thinks it has the ability or the right to regulate firearms or self-defense tools, as it were.
That is so square, and you're right. I mean, it's so square that people believe that something written down on paper protected by helium in the National Archives actually protects them when it does not. You know, when I first moved to Wyoming from California, because I like guns and I like lower taxes, so I moved to Wyoming. And my wife and I love it here. We absolutely love Wyoming. We love the Mountain West. Really, I think you could make a great America out of the Dakotas, Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, Colorado, but you'd have to do the what is it in Mulan Labe, where the governor passes a law that you don't have to pay sales tax if you're open carrying a gun because you don't need – only people who don't carry a gun should be paying for the police, which is a minarchist solution. But I got a big kick out of that because basically that's how they drove the gun haters out of Wyoming, was giving people an economic –
Wyoming. Yeah, you're right.
But then there's a few, you know, some southern states, southwestern states. So you can make a great little place out of these states. I'd like it. But
North Dakota too.
I said the Dakotas. Absolutely.
Interesting note on the Dakotas. Since I have been rereading Probability Broach, actually the capital of the North American Confederacy, as they call it, is in North Dakota. Not because it is a central location, but not so it's easier for everybody to get to it, but because it's kind of isolated from everything so that people won't want to go there all the time to lobby and make the government bigger.
Yeah, what was that really cool post-apocalyptic TV show that had Skeet Ulrich in it? Jericho. Yeah, in Jericho, Wyoming was the new nation's capital, but it was the capital of the bad nation run by the tyrants. But then Liberty persevered, and the last scene of the last episode is the heroes putting up a "Don't Tread on Me" flag. Mm-hmm. So when I first moved to Wyoming, I really liked the fact that the state constitution here says that every person between like 16 and 70, I think it is a member of the militia. And they actually, I kind of like that if they're going to do that, I like this one thing they did in it, is they say, if you have a religious objection to owning weapons, you don't have to be in it. But the more I think about this whole thing, the more I don't like it, because it's the state telling me I have to do something and basically saying that, you know, Governor Matt Mead could call me up and conscript me to go annex Utah if he wanted to, or, you know, help him kick down neighbors' doors because they have marijuana or something. I mean, isn't that what a militia is in the sense of a state militia in the original sense? It's not voluntary.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, that's the root of the problem. You know, Mussolini said, or liked to talk about how everything should be inside the state, nothing outside of the state. Of course, we are the opposite of Mussolini, so nothing should be inside the state. Everything should be outside the state, and that includes how you conceive of self-defense or weapons or whatever it is. If you let the state have any say whatsoever in weapons or self-defense or guns, then they are going to do the wrong thing by their very nature. Yeah. Vladimir Ilyich Lenin has a quote, and it's actually at the end of this Bill Buford article. The quote is, "A system of licensing and registration is the perfect device to deny gun ownership to the bourgeoisie." Now you might say, oh yeah, well, we're totally against registration. That's just ridiculous. People get that. But you got to get the licensing part too. The power to license is the power to control. And so if you have a system of licensing with anything, whether it's driving, guns, hairdressing, anything, you're basically giving the state some third entity that doesn't have a say, really, or shouldn't have a say in a voluntary transaction. You're giving them the power to put a kibosh on it. They can pull your license, and you're giving them the power to decide who gets to do a certain thing.
Yeah, this is an A-B conversation. They should see their way out of it.
They should.
The state. Yes. It's kind of interesting. The word state is confusing in America, because when you say the state, people think, oh, you mean Wyoming or North Dakota? No, we mean any government entity. And anywhere outside of America, the state means the federal government of that country. Now, the reason state means also means states in America, like Wyoming or North Dakota or Texas, is because America was set up to basically be 50 countries under one banner. And that has really been taken away. That's been, you know, starting with probably in the biggest way, Abe Lincoln, honest Abe, honest. I will be honest about killing more Americans than Hitler will one day kill, Abe Lincoln. Didn't like states' rights, man. Didn't like them.
He started a war.
Going back to it, I just still don't understand why Glenn Beck gets all weepy-eyed like a little schoolgirl when he remembers and thinks about Abe Lincoln. When Glenn Beck goes on and on and on about how great states' rights are, but he loves Lincoln. I mean, what? That's so weird, man. How do you do
because
that?
Because he didn't start with the principle. It's order of operations, right? There's riddles about this where you know, if you do the math wrong, if you do your addition before the multiplication, I don't remember how it really goes. But basically, if you don't do the operations right in the right order, then you end up with the wrong answer. And I feel like that's kind of what's going on with Beck and a lot of people in society these days, is they pick a philosophy not because they came to it through any logical way, but because it sounds good to them. They're like, oh yeah, I agree with that. I'm okay, and now I'm a libertarian because I agree with this one thing, this second thing, and this third thing that libertarians agree with. Or I'm a conservative because of the same reason. They don't get there by saying, huh, what's wrong and what's right? All right, and why is it wrong and right? And who talks about that? And what do those people that talk about call themselves? That's the order of operations that should go. And so we started with, hey, man, aggression's wrong. The state aggresses. We don't think the state should do that, and it really can't do that unless it doesn't exist. What do those people call themselves? Libertarians. You know, that was our order of operations. And if you go to it the other way, you're going to get it wrong, and you're not going to be consistent.
I think my favorite – yeah, that's all good stuff, and I totally, wholeheartedly concur, and I could vote for that, but I don't vote. So – I think my favorite part of the Bill Buppert article, though, is really that he calls the Oval Office the Offal Office, O-F-F-A-L. And offal is any meat that is the part that is not the prime cut. It's basically – it's also called internal organs or entrails or variety – like variety meats. And there's a thing on The Simpsons where they're showing Bart and Lisa in class how hot dogs are made. And they have this graphic probably from the 50s, from the food pyramid era, you know, like the federal government Department of Agriculture image of how hot dogs are made. And it shows like three things with arrows going into a blender. And it's like a whole cow, a whole pig, a raccoon, and an old leather boot, and that's what goes into a blender to make hot dogs.
That's
so
a joke, obviously.
That's offal, but that's offal, and the Offal Office is a good name for the Oval Office, because they say that politics are like sausage making. I agree with that part, but I don't agree with the next part. I don't even agree with that part, because sausage is great, man. And I don't like the sausage the government makes.
Right. With sausage, at least you like the final product. With the state, we don't like the final product either, or the process.
What's the quote? It's some apologist quote about, like, you know, politics is like sausage. It makes a good product, but you don't want to see it made. Who thinks that the state makes a good product, man? Everything they do could be done in the market better.
Scared people that have no sense of self-efficacy, right? I mean, if you don't think that you as an individual can pave your own way in life, then I guess you are going to hold on to some kind of sense that this bigger power can do it for you, and that you just need to ask and beg in the appropriate manner, and then you will get a living wage, and you will get protection, and you'll be okay, and all this kind of stuff. But really, it's just weakness.
And our solution, you know, we've talked about what's wrong with other people's solutions the whole show, and really our solution is educating as many people as possible and teaching other people to educate people about the non-aggression principle, about how you can be gun loving and war hating. And I don't just mean war like over there. I mean like war on your neighborhood. Like when I saw the cops kick down a neighbor's door for weed the other day out my window, and heard cops yelling and swearing and pointing guns. And I've lived in Wyoming 4 years, and I've never heard anyone swearing or yelling or pointing guns except the cops. So I guess that says what the war on drugs and all the wars lead to. So that's our real solution. I want to talk about my fantasy solution, is how the alien saviors are going to come. And I actually think about this. Okay, we're on AM radio several places now, and one 50,000-watt station. A 50,000-watt AM station sends signals into space as well as out sideways. It literally can be perceived from space. Who knows how far that can go? And, you know, if we're listening to stuff that happened thousands of years ago, millions of years ago, radio events of stars exploding that's just now hitting the Earth from thousands or millions of light years away, I'm sure advanced technologies, if they exist, can hear what we're saying. And I have a theory that aliens, you know, living things on some planet have been monitoring everything forever. And they're finally hearing the fiends. The close ones are finally hearing the fiends. And they're going, wait, there is hope. There is intelligent life on that planet, and they're going to come down and make Neem and I the libertarian emperors of the world, and we're going to bring libertarian paradise or libpair to everyone with the help of the aliens and their advanced technology, which basically probably means them arming us in a way that no one can touch us. And we would use aggression to prevent aggression. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, that's a joke.
Awful. That was awful. Awful. That's an awful theory.
Yeah. We'll be back with the fiends. Tweak and review.
Tweak and review. Worms. I go to market. I go to army.
Market.
Go to army. Go to market. Buster went to army.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
All right.
Cookies.
Thank you for joining us again. Michael's eating cookies. I told you don't eat cookies on the radio, Michael. Don't do that.
But I didn't steal these. I built these cookies. So Abe Lincoln will not haunt my dreams for eating them.
Okay. Good.
All right. Go ahead with your bad self with your tweak and review.
This is the Freedom Fiends tweak and review. For the last segment, we like to take what we talked about and mishmash it up into a nice soup for y'all. So we're going to start with one. Eric Holder is no Moses, all right? And the state is not God. And even if you do believe that, Moses wasn't the lawgiver, so you can't say Eric Holder's the lawgiver of our time, all right? Eric Holder, if anything, he's the delivery boy of the law, quote law. Because, you know, mankind can't really make law. That's the problem. If you listen to some good Christian anarchist like Ben Stone, you'll realize that that was the real original sin, was man eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Nima said the A word on the radio.
Not with regards to us, but with regards to somebody we really like.
That
now,
anarchist.
Here's the thing. What he did was he says, hey, that was the initiation of the state. It was man deciding that he is the lawmaker instead of God or nature or human nature if you're an atheist or not a theist. So thinking Eric Holder is Moses, that just betrays your own evilness of being a state worshiper. All right. Item two, how other people do business, it's none of your business. All right. And it's none of the state's business. So if you write articles about how bad it is that Rush Limbaugh gives his radio show away to medium and small sized markets, Just be quiet, man.
Or just start your own radio show if it's so easy, man.
Start your own radio show.
Start your own radio show and give it away if it's so bad or, you know, if you want to compete fairly. Go ahead and do it.
Okay, it can be really difficult to find ways to monetize things and come up in the world independently, you know, and that's the way a lot of real work is done is by people just doing it, you know. Going and punching a clock is a much different thing. And so complaining about how people figure out ways creatively, how entrepreneurs figure out ways to get money, those are really good things. That's what drives the economy. And hating on them isn't going to do any good in the world, all right? So number three. Making things illegal, what the state does, making the law as if they are God. They're kicking God off the throne. But what it also does is it means that you have a surveillance and a police state. And this is something you can chide both the left and the right on, is if you outlaw a plant or a drug, the only way you can enforce that is to watch everybody all the time. And same thing if you outlaw guns or even magazines. I talked to a liberal the other day. We were talking about gun
control. Dirty magazines?
Saying, I don't want to take...
Dirty magazines or gun magazines?
No.
Or
no.
Either,
magazines,
actually.
Magazines that hold cartridges that shoot bullets.
Same thing with dirty magazines. If you think people, adults, shouldn't look at dirty magazines and you try to ban it, it's going to lead to your guns getting taken away.
Right. The guy, here's what he said. Here's what a lot of people on that tip say. They say something like, you know, we don't want to take your guns away. We just want to keep people from making 100 clip mag or 100 round magazines or making 30 round 100 magazines.
100 clip mags jam, man. All you need is, I'm not saying they should be banned. I'm saying I'd rather have three 30 round mags, which I've got.
Well, here's the other thing. Why don't they understand? He said, because I just want to get rid of the magazines, I want to keep people from selling them, then I'm not saying there should be a surveillance and police state. What, they think that people who run businesses and manufacture things aren't people? Is that what they're saying? Because you're going to have to surveil the companies that have factories that can make magazines like that. You're going to have to surveil them, and if they're making a magazine that's forbidden by your state law, then they're going to have to send guys in with guns to go bust some heads. And so, yes, even if you stop something at the point of production, you're still calling for aggression. All right, and the final thing. You can't love Lincoln and at the same time love states' rights or say the thing without being inconsistent, right? Lincoln was no lover of state rights. There were states that were saying, hey, we want to exercise our valid thing
exit
here.
Exit strategy,
When we joined the Union, it was implicit that we can leave the Union if it doesn't fit our needs at the specific time. And Lincoln said, no, you can't do that. We must preserve the Union. And if I have to kill hundreds of thousands of people in order to preserve the Union, I will do so. And then he did so. So up your consistency game, fellas. That's what we really got to do here. That's why the Fiends are here on the air.
We'll be back tomorrow. Same bat channel, same bat time for the Freedom
same
Fiends.
Same Fiend channel, same Fiend time. Yeah, we got to switch it up. All right. Thank you so much for joining us, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.
Let warm up. Go ahead so I can study it. And know your ways.
Unique New York, unique New York, you know you need unique New York, unique New York, unique New York, you know you need unique New York, unique New York, unique New York, you know you need unique New York. Red leather, yellow leather, 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 rubber baby buggy bumpers, rubber baby buggy bumpers, rubber baby buggy bumpers, rubber baby buggy bumpers, rubber baby buggy bumpers.
That's totally punk rock, man. That was great.
Yeah.
That was great. Yeah.